Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. These main headlines, the Taoiseach has said there could be record-breaking numbers of COVID cases here over the coming days. The Omicron variant is now the dominant strain here, accounting for over half of all new infections. 78 patients of hospitals in the Northwest died after contracting COVID-19 while in hospital. Figures obtained by The Independent revealed that 43 patients at Letterkenny University Hospital died after being infected with the virus while being in there. And Letterkenny University Hospital once again remained one of the most overcrowded in the state today. 40 people are waiting on a bed at the hospital there. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly, coming up for you in the next half hour. To our top story this evening, and the Taoiseach has said there could be a record-breaking number of COVID cases over the coming days, as the Omicron variant is now the dominant strain here and accounts for over half of all new COVID infections. An 8 p.m. closing time for cinemas, theatres and hospitality comes into effect today, as well as a 50% capacity limit for large events. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said there could be a difficult few weeks ahead.
Based what's happened in other countries, in Norway, in Denmark, South Africa, in New York, it's going to come hard. It's going to come fast. There will be a lot of cases, perhaps cases breaking all records in the next couple of days. And that will then lead to a rise in hospitalisations and ICU admissions and sadly deaths as well. But we don't know how bad that will be.
Mark Doherty from Century Cinemas in Letterkenny has said the 8 p.m. closing time is a big blow, as much of their income comes from evening showings, as well as the Christmas season's business.
We would normally have between 4 and 5 showings per day per screen. That's now going to be reduced to between 2 and 3 showings per day per screen. And we have 8 screens, so it's quite a significant number of shows that are now going to have to be cancelled. It's going to have a big impact on us. Christmas is one of those very busy trading times. We derive a lot of income from the Christmas period. And it now means that those main evening shows, which are traditionally the busiest shows of the day, have now been cancelled.
Meanwhile, the Chief Medical Officer has said today people should socialise as little as possible over the coming weeks. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Hoonlin has said everyone should cut their social contact as much as possible.
It really would be better in terms of your social interaction, going out and about, whether it's shops, whether it's the ability to work from home, whether it's going out, socialising, visiting other houses. Better if you can avoid having to do it, then better if you don't do it. And this is a difficult message to give to people at Christmas time. People can feel pressure to meet up at Christmas time. But really, in the face of this particular infection, it really would be better if you can minimise and, if possible, put off those kinds of social contacts.
78 patients of hospitals in the Northwest died after contracting COVID-19 while in hospital. Figures obtained by The Independent under a Freedom of Information request revealed that 43 patients at Letterkenny University Hospital died after being infected with the virus while in hospital for treatment relating to another illness. Meanwhile, at Sligo University Hospital, 35 people admitted there lost their lives after becoming infected. A total of 856 people nationally died after being infected with COVID-19 while in hospital for another illness. Those figures have been described as shocking and harrowing by patient safety groups, who are calling for greater scrutiny of how those deaths occurred. Director of the Irish Patients Association, Stephen McMahon, says action is needed before patients begin avoiding hospitals.
It is shocking to see so many people have died of COVID-19 having got the disease in the hospitals. We are in very challenging times and have been now for the past 2 years. And this is going to continue on into the future. So it's important that the hospital systems learn the lessons from the excellent management of MRSA. And that can only happen if you actually understand how each particular case got the illness while in the hospital.
Letterkenny University Hospital once again remained one of the most overcrowded in the country today. 40 people were waiting on a bed there, making it the second most overcrowded in the state. 6 people were on a trolley in the hospital's emergency department, while a further 34 were waiting on wards elsewhere. 394 admitted patients were waiting on a bed at hospitals across the country, according to the latest INMO Trolley Watch report. 2,148 new COVID cases have been recorded in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There's also been one additional COVID-related death announced there today. 276 patients are currently being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 34 of those now in ICU. The HSE has said thousands of unvaccinated people are still coming forward to start their COVID vaccination programme. Officials are currently focusing on the rollout of the booster campaign in an effort to combat the spread of the Omicron variant. The HSE's vaccination lead Damien McCallion has said it's hoped a booster dose will be offered to all adults by February. But also, he says people are still coming forward in their thousands for their first and second doses of vaccine, alongside the booster campaign.
And positively, we're still seeing people coming forward for the primary vaccination. You know, in terms of numbers, in the range of up to 10,000 in any given week in recent weeks for both their first dose or perhaps people who hadn't completed their second dose. So that's very encouraging because they're the people that are most exposed to risk from this disease, and particularly now with the new variant.
Up to 40% of students were reported to be absent in some schools across the country today. It comes amid concerns of the spread of COVID-19 amongst primary school children. Andrew Louth has this report.
Children being taken out of school this week was described as parents voting with their feet, according to the Labour Party. It had been expected that there would be some level of absenteeism this week due to families' concerns of the virus spreading. Labour's education spokesperson Eoghan Reardon says not enough was done by the Department of Education to reassure parents.
I am very concerned at the lack of leadership and lack of communication and miscommunication from the Department of Education. Every issue around COVID management in schools has been mishandled.
Those sentiments were echoed by one school principal in Carlow, who says the department were too slow to react throughout the pandemic. Simon Lewis from Carlow Educate Together says HEPA filters funding was suggested nearly a year ago. Now there's no advice on which ones to get.
I've got in my inbox this morning about a dozen ads with prices for these things, for anything from a couple of hundred euro up to a couple of thousand euro. And to be honest, I've no idea where to turn.
The government has always maintained that schools would stay open this week, as well as their desire for them to reopen in January.
Former Brexit Minister David Frost's resignation could signal the end of Boris Johnson's administration in the UK, according to a member of the Good Friday Agreement Committee. Donegal Senator Niall Blaney believes the Prime Minister's days are now numbered. Earlier, Lord Frost said he resigned as Brexit Minister due to a disagreement about policies, mainly a decision on new COVID measures. His role will now be filled by the British Foreign Secretary Liz Truss. Senator Blaney says Lord Frost's decision may be evidence of a change within UK politics.
I think he's a pretty sticky negotiator. He's proven that in the past, but it's anybody's guess. All these things are anybody's guess, but I would hope it's a sign of a disseminating of the hardline Brexiteers within the Conservative Party. And it's funny, I would have contacted that they would have said to me about 3 to 4 weeks ago that Boris was in danger, and that they felt that he probably wouldn't make it. That members of the Parliamentary Party, of the Conservative Party, were pretty much seconds by the way their relative or different constituencies were starting to decline. The small towns were starting to feel the effects of Brexit. I then got a call 2 weeks ago to say that Liz Truss's campaign has taken off. It's interesting now that she has replacement. So it'll be very interesting to see what her perspective is, how she takes on the role of...
I think this is the last throw of the dice with Boris on one hand. On the other hand, it could be an effort by the Conservatives to take back control from Boris and his administration. And I think Boris's days are numbered. So it could be the start of a new administration with a different approach.
A judge who presided over the Kevin Lunny abduction trial has said the maximum penalty for such a crime should be reserved for whoever organised or financed it. A combined total of 70 years in prison was handed down today to three men who abducted and tortured the director of Quinn Industrial Holdings 2 years ago. Frank Graney has more.
The longest sentence handed down today was to a man we can't name by order of the court. Referred to simply as YZ, he was jailed for 30 years. The court was satisfied that he was the ringleader on the day of the abduction, and it was accepted that he dished out most of the beating inflicted on Kevin Lunny. The driver of a car used to ram into Mr. Lunny's was jailed for 25 years. Alan O'Brien from Eastwall in Dublin also restrained Mr. Lunny in the back of another car that was used to transport him to the yard in Cavan, where he was tortured. A third man, 27-year-old Darren Redmond, also from Eastwall, was jailed for 15 years for the role he played in what was described as a meticulously planned operation. Mr. Justice Tony Hun said the maximum penalty of life imprisonment for a crime like this should be reserved for those who organise and finance it. Gardaí say their investigation into what happened to Mr. Lunny is ongoing. Frank Graney, the Special Criminal Court.
Political parties need to ensure there's transparency around the retention of personal data. That's the view of the Data Protection Commission following an audit of political parties. It was conducted in the wake of controversy surrounding Sinn Féin's Abu database, and also reported a number of political parties had used their own members to carry out polling in the past. Deputy Commissioner for Data Protection Tony Delaney says that Sinn Féin will need to make people aware of the information they have in future.
They need to draw attention to that when their canvassers are out on the ground and handing out leaflets at the door during an election campaign, for example, because the electorate needs to be told if your data is collected from you at the door by a canvasser on behalf of Sinn Féin and they're going to feed that back to party headquarters to go onto the Abu database, well then that needs to be drawn attention to on the electioneering literature.
Gardaí have given the HSE a copy of the personal, medical and HSE data stolen as part of the cyber attack in May. The information came from the Department of Justice in the United States. Jess Kelly has this report.
Gardaí gave the HSE a copy of the data stolen as part of the ransomware attack on May 14th. The National Cyber Crime Bureau got this information from the Department of Justice in the US under what's called a mutual legal assistance treaty. It was then handed to the HSE last Friday. After an initial technical examination over the weekend, it was confirmed that it is data taken from HSE systems. The Data Protection Commission was informed today of this development. It is not clear as of yet how many individuals are impacted. It's expected that the material involved will include a mix of personal data, medical information, alongside HSE corporate, commercial and admin information. Where personal data has been compromised, the HSE will take action following engagement with the DPC. Individuals do not need to contact the HSE at this point.
The time is now 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break and sport is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time's now 5:15. Time to go over to Oisin Kelly with the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with swimming. Mona McSharry has won bronze at the World Short Course Championships in Abu Dhabi. The Sligo native set a new Irish record on taking third in the women's 100-metre breaststroke final. McSharry, who spent her 10 years with the Ballyshannon Marlins Club, swam 103.32 to secure her first world medal. It was the sixth time in the championships that Mona broke an Irish record.
I was definitely nervous going into it because I knew I had the potential to medal. And it's really nice to see that all come together in a race because, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But it felt really good and I'm glad I dropped time too.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about just this World Championships as a whole, how you felt about your performance this year all around?
It's been amazing. It's been really enjoyable to watch other teammates swim really well and have a great time. And this is kind of the first time we've gotten together as a group since the Olympics. And it's much of the same swimmers. And it's just really nice to be able to have fun and compete together and be up against the best in the world.
In soccer, the SSE are trusty Premier Division 2022 season in the League of Ireland will kick off on Friday, February 18th. Next, with four rounds of fixtures across a 36-game calendar that will conclude on Friday, November 4th. Champion Shamrock Rovers will kick off their defence in the Premier off the Premier Division title at home to UCD, while the FA Cup winners St Patrick's Athletic are away to promoted Shelburne on the opening weekend. As for the North West sides, Finn Harps will start by hosting Drogheda United. Dundalk will entertain Derry City at Oriel Park. And Sligo Rovers will be at home to Bohemians in the remaining fixtures in round one. The first derby is Derry City playing Sligo in round three, while the first Derry-Finn Harps derby match is on Friday the 8th of April, and that will be at Finn Park. The season will conclude with the FA Cup on November 13th. The full fixture list is available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. John Daly has been installed as assistant manager at St Patrick's Athletic. The former Dundee United and Rangers striker started his coaching career at Hearts before moving to a Finnish side, Turku. Cross-channel Premier League clubs have rejected the idea of postponing a round of fixtures despite the ongoing disruption caused by COVID-19. Joe Rawson reports.
A short pause of games dubbed a festive firebreak was discussed at a meeting today but didn't have the support of all 20 clubs. Instead, teams agreed that if they have 13 fit players and a goalkeeper, they should fulfil their games. Six fixtures over the weekend were called off after the top flight recorded its highest ever number of positive COVID cases.
Tottenham are out of the Europa Conference League. UEFA have ruled that they must forfeit their final match against Rennes, which means Spurs can't advance from the group. They finished in third with two wins from their six games in Group G. The game was postponed earlier this month after an outbreak of COVID in the Spurs squad. Up in Scotland, Hibernian have appointed former Celtic player Sean Maloney as their new manager. His former club beat Hibs 2-1 in the Scottish League Cup final, which was played yesterday. In darts, five-time former world champion Raymond van Barneveld is in first-round action at the World Championships later. The Dutch veteran plays Laurens Egan at Alexandra Palace, with the winner set to play 2018 world champion Rob Cross in the next round. Elsewhere, three-time semi-finalist James Wade is also set for action on the hockey tonight. The United Rugby Championship fixtures involving Irish and South African teams in early January have been postponed. They'll now take place at the end of February. Munster's matches in South Africa have also been rescheduled after they were postponed in late November. The two matches are now penciled in for mid-March. While in cricket, England have been thrashed by 275 runs in the second Ashes test to go 2-0 down against Australia with three matches to play. The teams will meet again in Melbourne on St. Stephen's Day. That's your sport for today. Daniel, back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin, and back to news now. And there are calls for a review of recycling facilities across Donegal. Councillor Micheál Colm McGilla Aspaig is calling for an expansion of recycling centres, particularly in West Donegal. Currently, the sole recycling facility in the Glenties Municipal District, based in Dunloe, operates only on select days. Councillor McGilla Aspaig believes much more needs to be done overall to tackle waste.
People recycle at different times, and if you look at our bring banks right around our county, they're busy generally 24/7. So unfortunately in Dunloe you have to wait until the days are opened. But what I would like to see a place, say in the likes of the car park that's already there, if that's suitable, and have that facility so people can go 24/7 if need be. But we need to overall look at the recycling we have in the whole county. We need to look at the privatisation of our recycling plants, our recycling centres throughout the whole county. We need to have far more. I've been looking for our recycling centres to be expanded out, not just the bring banks. So with likes of the one we have here in the Glenties MD, there is only one, and it doesn't make environmental or economic sense to travel all the way from Falkara or Ardara to Dunloe to do your recycling. That just isn't sensible if we want to actually make that massive impact that we need to do in terms of the environment.
And indeed, unfortunately, there are always numerous incidents of fly tipping and illegal dumping across the county, so enhanced facilities may put an end to this.
Well, I think it'll help it massively, and if you look at what one of the biggest wastes that we have within any household, and it's plastic, we need to look at alternative ways to reduce the need of plastic. And I think what's happening is that the burden is left on the householder instead of being looking at the companies that produces the plastic waste. And I think the likes of maybe milk companies and others need to start looking more progressively in terms of how they deliver, say, milk or any other product to reduce the need of plastic.
And finally, works to save water and improve the reliability of water supply in parts of Donegal have been completed by Irish Water. Ageing water mains in Letterkenny, Killybegs, Stranorther and Lahey have been replaced in a bid, the utility says, to drive down the volume of clean water being lost underground. Michaela Clark has more.
In total, close to 1 kilometre of water mains was replaced with new high-density plastic pipes as part of works carried out in Donegal by Irish Water in partnership with Donegal County Council. All lead service connections on the public roadway were also replaced as part of the works. At St Junan's Terrace, Letterkenny, approximately 200 metres of cast iron water mains located along the rear of several properties prone to frequent leakage, bursts and low water pressure were replaced. While and in Stranorla, around 100 metres of cast iron mains were replaced at the N15 Stranorla Bridge. In Killybegs, approximately 350 metres of mains replacement was completed along the L1285 and the R263 Shore Road, and 300 metres of mains were replaced on Main Street Lahey. Michael McGrady, assistant engineer with Donegal County Council, says the replacement of the old pipes will significantly improve water quality, safeguard the water supply and have a positive impact on leakage.
And now the weather. It'll be cloudy and mostly dry tonight with some mist and fog in places. A few spots of drizzle are possible too, and some frost may also form locally. Lowest temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees overnight tonight. To this evening's main headlines once again, and the Taoiseach says there could be record-breaking numbers of COVID cases in the coming days. The Omicron variant is now the dominant strain here and accounts for over half of all new infections. An 8 p.m. closing time for cinemas, theatres and hospitality comes into effect this evening. 78 patients of hospitals in the Northwest died after contracting COVID-19 while in hospital. Figures obtained by The Independent under a Freedom of Information request reveal that 43 patients at Letterkenny University Hospital died after being infected with the virus while in hospital for treatment for another illness. And LUH was once again one of the most overcrowded hospitals in the country today. 40 people were waiting on a bed at the hospital this afternoon, making it the second most overcrowded in the state. That's all from the news desk for now. We'll have another news update for you coming up at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening.
Your COVID-19 walk-in vaccine clinic update in association with the HSE. See hse.ie for clinic times, locations and information.
And now a reminder from us at Highland Radio in association with the HSE that there's a walk-in COVID-19 vaccination clinic today at the Letterkenny Business Park in Ballyrean, which is open until 7 o'clock this evening. Boosters are being made available to people aged over 40 and healthcare workers. HSE Live on Twitter say there's currently no queue at Letterkenny Vaccination Centre. If you're due your COVID-19 vaccine booster, now is a good time to go. Please visit hse.ie or follow at HSE Live on Twitter for more information.
The best music on your station.
The obituary notices for Monday evening, December the 20th. The death has taken place in Philadelphia of John Cairns, formerly of Glebe Gardens, Sion Mills. His funeral will take place in Philadelphia. The death has taken place of Michael Doherty, Drumburn, Milford. His remains will repose at his home. House strictly private to family only. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Rosary today and tomorrow at 9 p.m. The funeral mass and rosary can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney funeral directors. The death has occurred of Margaret Gallagher, Ogha Vogue, Killybegs. Her remains are reposing at her home tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Strictly for family, close friends and neighbours only. Removal on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. to St. Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The mass will be streamed live on mcnmedia.tv. House strictly private to family only on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Kevin McGranahan, 37 Fortwell, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at the Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, Letterkenny, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Eunan's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Conmacdade funeral director. The death has occurred of Georgie Matthews, 10 Legnabraid Road, Newton Stewart. George's remains are reposing at his late residence. Family, friends and neighbours are welcome. His funeral service will take place at his home tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Bodoni Cemetery, Dritch. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Parkinson's UK, care of Hood and Company Undertakers. The death has taken place of Tony McIntyre, Sessionale, Ballybuffet. His remains will repose at his late residence today and from 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. House will be private to family, neighbours and close friends. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Sessionale, on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on St Mary's Church Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to St Joseph's Hospital, Woodville Ward, Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place in London of Mr Lawrence Byrne, formerly of Corlay, Crossroads, Killigordon. Lawrence's funeral cremation will take place on Thursday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. in the City of London Crematorium, South Chapel. The funeral cremation can be viewed live on wesleymedia.co.uk. Mass will be said for Lawrence in St Mary's Church, Sessionale, Ballybuffet on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Lawrence's ashes will be returned home to Donegal at a later date. The death has taken place of Elaine Kelly, Drumcarbet, Mallon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving there tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m, going to Lag Presbyterian Church for funeral service at 11 a.m. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. The death has occurred of Hugh Kennedy, Letterilly, Glentees. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from his home at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, going to St Connell's Church, Glentees, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of James McGuinness and Sons funeral directors or any family member. House strictly private. The death has taken place of Mary Kennedy, Ní Donaghy, 21 Sleeve Schnacht, Letterkenny. Mary's remains are reposing at the family home in Crook, Carrimore, Glenelee. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Cardonagh, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Mary's funeral mass can be viewed live on cardonaghparish.com. House private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Peter Sharkey, son of Mary and Peter Sharkey of Anagri West. Requiem Mass and interment will take place in Glasgow on Wednesday, and a Mass will be said for Peter in Anagri Parish in the new year. The death has taken place of Bridget McBride Ní Gallagher, Terhillion, Termon. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral to St Columba's Church, Termon, for 12 noon Requiem Mass tomorrow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on the St Columba's Church Facebook page. House strictly private to family and close friends. And the death has taken place of Cicely Casey, Ní Moore, 183 Ballycolman Estate, Sherban, and formerly of Gortmellon, Dunamana. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.